This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
All right, buckle up, folks. We got a busy hour for you here on Jaguars This Week. On a Wednesday evening, welcome inside Jaguars Central. Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, and a bunch of guests. Full house this evening, and you can join us, too, at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I want to talk about your teleconference last night with Gene Smith. Obviously, that is breaking news. Well, not breaking any longer, but it was breaking news for the Florida Times Union.
Made a big headline.
Yeah, it did, baby.
Yeah, you're famous now.
Yeah, well, Gene Smith was the – I was just the questioner. Gene Smith has turned into the pulse and the voice of this franchise.
Well, he's a face, absolutely.
I mean, he is has been absolutely fantastic. He was out of this world last night. Came early, stayed late. He's everything you could possibly want in a general manager. The Tebow question, the poll question that we asked. And
well, now, but before you go there, you need to explain to people what this was, because there are some that don't read the paper, that some that have no idea what you're talking about, what this was.
It was called Fan Form, and it was for season ticket holders only. It came in the form of a conference call. I received questions from fans who and Joe Fortunato here was the conduit. He provided them to me, and then I repeated them on the air to Gene Smith.
Joe being helpful.
And then Gene did all the work. He answered the question. Along the way, Joe presented four poll questions, and I will read those poll questions in a minute. Here's some numbers for you. A total of 3,422 account holders, season ticket account holders, listened in on the call, which is approximately 30% of the total accounts called and represents one-third of the Jaguars' current renewing season ticket base. During the call, a peak attendance of 1,244 season ticket holders were on the line at any one time, and callers stayed on the line for an average of 26 minutes. The NFL team average is 23 minutes. Approximately 1,030 fans stayed on the line throughout the whole call. Broadnet told the Jaguars that the Jaguars set a new record for NFL team fan participation.
Broadnet is the company that allowed this conference call to happen.
They facilitated it. Very good. And that the response is the best that they have ever had for any of the NFL fan forums. The questions were dynamite. The fan questions were fantastic. And then, you know, along the way, I got some of my own in there,
of
too.
Course,
I spruced them
of
up.
Course.
You know, I held the GM Gene's hands to the fire a couple times, right, Joe?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. During the call, fans were given the option of pressing zero on their keypad to speak directly to a representative in ticketing to renew their tickets. And they did some business last night, too. They didn't sell the building out, but they, you know.
No, Tim said it was.
Took a few steps closer to it.
It happened.
Okay, now here's the juicy part. A series of polls were conducted during the conference call in which fans were able to vote their opinions on four questions. A total of 2,418 votes, and I want to tell you that's extraordinary. There's an industry standard on participation.
It's 3%.
Okay. In the newspaper business, it's 0.5%. So 3%.
In radio, it's 3% participation.
3% is still, 2,418 votes. That is that is fantastic participation. 2,418 votes were cast in response to the following questions. Question number one, poll question number one. Do you think the Jaguars will reach the playoffs in 2010? 637 votes were cast. 83% of them were yes. Question number two, if you have not done so already, do you intend to renew your season tickets? 416 votes were cast. 96% of them were yes. And that's big because March 19th is a deadline. So start doing it, folks. You know, we're getting down to the nub here. Question number three, should the Jaguars, this is the big one, should the Jaguars draft Tim Tebow?
That's not the big one to me. The last one that you said is the big one.
Okay. This one made the headline in the Florida Times.
Of course it is, but it's not the big one. I mean,
should the Jaguars draft Tim Tebow? 800 votes were cast, and the result was stunning. 55% of the 800 voters said no, the Jaguars should not draft Tim Tebow. 45% said yes. Before I get to the last question, let me expand or expound a little bit on this. I got questions, emails to my inbox today to ask Vic saying, hey, that's an unfair question because you were asking it of the season ticket base. And what Tim Tebow would do is bring new business, new season ticket holders to the Jaguars, which I completely understand, made sense. However, the Florida Times Union did their own poll today. And the question was, if the Jaguars drafted Tim Tebow, would you buy season tickets? There were three options. Yes, no, and I don't care if they draft him or not, it wouldn't affect me. The last I looked, 42% said yes, they would buy season tickets if they drafted Tim Tebow. 37% or 38% said it wouldn't matter either way, and 20% said no. Now, that's 58% saying it doesn't matter. Either I'm
it
not.
It doesn't matter or no, it doesn't make a difference.
Exactly, which is right in line with the 55% right. that we got. So,
which the TU is presumably could be season ticket holders or not.
The preponderance of people reading the Times Union are not season ticket holders. So you are this was on Jacksonville.com. So the preponderance of people reading Jacksonville.com are not season ticket holders. So that is a valid broad-based survey that eliminates the bias that people were reading into the fan forum survey. That's the end of my dissertation. By the way, there's one more question.
Yeah.
How should the Jaguars use their first-round pick? 565 votes. 19% said they should use it on offense, 37% said defense, and 44% said trade for more picks.
So that was three options. That was it.
Yeah.
That's a very educated audience. That's pretty good.
Darn right. I take my hat off to you people who participated last night.
I would have liked
Your
to have seen a fourth
fantastic.
Option. Fourth what? Option would have been nice. Best available player.
Yeah. Yeah. I held the GM Gene's hands to the fire on that one. I asked him last night if I gave him a lie detector test, would he pass? He said he would.
Hey, you want the most current numbers from that Jacksonville,
yeah.
the Jacksonville.com poll? 3,382 votes at this point. If the Jaguars drafted Tim Tebow, would you buy season tickets? Yes, right now is 1,449 of those for 42.84%.
Stay the same.
Tebow being on the team wouldn't affect my decision one way or the other is 1,255 votes or 37.11%.
Stay the same.
And then no, 678 votes is 20.05%.
Stay the same. It's still 57 or 58% to whatever the 42%.
57.
So, I mean, we're overrating this.
I'm not.
I did.
Some are.
You know what I said? Before the people started pushing the button, when Joe asked the question, I said, I'll tell you what I think, Joe. I said, I said, I'll bet you 70% of the people say, yes, I want the Jaguars to draft Tim Tebow. Joe, within 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it was quick.
Because it's just press one, press two.
I repeated the question. By the time I said it a second time and looked at the computer,
600 votes.
600 votes.
Okay, and he said, here it is, 55-45 against. And I went, wow, I'm stunned. And I turned and looked at Gene, who was sitting in the seat you're in, Jeff. I looked at him. And he didn't say anything, but he gave me a facial expression of, I'm surprised too.
See, the most isn't that technology amazing?
But the most surprising thing.
You can have instant results like that.
The more surprising thing to me about the Tebow question wasn't, should we draft him in the first round? It's, should we draft him at all?
I know.
Yeah, that didn't come with any kind of...
no caveat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll talk about Aaron Kampman and Kasim Osgood, the two newest Jaguars, with Jeff, Vic, and you at 355-NFL1.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
And here we go. More of Jaguars This Week with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, yours truly, Joe Fortunato. You can join us at 355-NFL1. Anything to add with that, or can we get on to Aaron Kampman and Kasim Osgood? And obviously, Kampman was... somewhat of a surprise.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected the Jaguars to make that big of a splash, both financially and in terms of the caliber of player. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he's coming off the ACL, and we were having this conversation. So, Logs, you know, we're talking about a 30-year-old pass rusher who tore his ACL, what, November? Had the surgery in December?
December the 4th. The injury was on November the 22nd, and the surgery was on December the 4th.
Okay, so what's a fair expectation for him, and did the Jaguars overpay him considering he's coming off of an ACL?
Well, what did Julius Peppers get?
$42 million guaranteed.
$90 million total.
$96 million okay. total.
So somebody tell me, okay, if both of these players are healthy, who would I take?
Well, you'll take Kampman because you don't know if Peppers is going to show up.
Absolutely.
Kampman always shows up.
So you compare $42 million guaranteed with a guy you don't know is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Or a guy that you know is going to show up, and the only question is what form it's going to show up in.
Mm-hmm.
But $11 million guaranteed for a guy that you know is going to show up,
mm-hmm.
I'll take that all day long. Yeah,
that's a great point.
You know, Gene Smith had it, he put it perfectly, and he said that it is a calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, $11 million is a lot of money to risk, but at the same time, I would bet. Okay, and I'll make this statement right here. I'll bet you. Julius Peppers, Aaron Kampman, about the same age?
Kampman's going into his ninth season, and Peppers is going into his eighth, right? They're one year apart.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll bet you that over the next 4 years, Aaron Kampman will have more productivity than Julius Peppers.
That's a big statement.
I'll bet you that.
Yeah. You might be right, but please tell us, give this a perspective on a guy who I saw, by the way, blow out his ACL in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing Barry Foster all over the turf.
Chasing Neil O'Donnell.
Ooh, you didn't catch him? Neil O'Donnell.
I did. I that was my first sack of the year, and I tore my ACL on the first sack of the year.
So, I mean, what's the deal here? I mean,
well,
you know.
I'll tell you this. I tore mine in 92. Okay, 91, I was a 10-sack year in 91.
Mm-hmm.
92, tore it, and that was the second game of the year.
Right.
93, I had 8 sacks. Obviously, my tear was in week 2. Aaron's is much later than that.
Week 9.
But the medical advances, I think, certainly can make up for that gap between now and then and now. Now, can it make up the difference to where he's going to come back and be the same player right out of the gate? No. You know, and I read all of Aaron's statements, you know, watched the video on Jaguars.com, and read everything that he said about how he expects to be back full speed. The reality of it is that history will tell you that most guys that come back will not be completely normal the following year.
Right.
It takes time. But will he still be an effective player, even though he's not 100%? Yes, he will be a very effective player.
Pacelli started all 16 games in 2000 after blowing out his ACL in the final game of the 1999 regular season.
And he wasn't the same the next year.
He wasn't the same.
No.
He'll tell you that. But he did play all 16 games.
Yes. Still a productive player.
Yeah, now, of course, he's a great player, a great talent.
Mm-hmm.
A superb physical specimen. I'll give you a couple of my thoughts on this pro and con. I'm going to start, first of all, with this. The expectation, and this was volunteered by the head coach, Jack Del Rio, in his season ender, is to make it into the playoffs next year. Now, the one thing I can tell you for sure is, you ain't making it into the playoffs without a pass rusher. You with 14 sacks, you're not getting into the playoffs.
No.
So
almost did last year.
Yeah, but they lost 4 at the end. It's 4 in a row, so they really didn't almost get in. I mean, you know, 4 in a row at the end isn't going to get you in. So the point is, it would be a bigger risk that you would get the pass rusher you need in the first round, and you don't have a second round pick. Therefore, if you don't get him in the first round, you're back to 14 sacks, and the coach has no chance. You know what I mean?
Great point.
You got to be fair to the coach. You got to give the coach the pass rusher he needs for him to make have any chance of showing improvement. So that's one thing in favor of the signing. Here's the thing that bothered me about the signing. Campman's sacks totals have declined every year since a career high in 2006. A little bit of a concern for me. He went from like 15 to 12 to 9 to 3.5. You know, and I know this past year was about a position switch that didn't suit him.
No question.
But I don't like the decline. So I'm hoping that this ACL will every good football player gets a kind of second wind late in his career. I'm hoping that this will, you know, give him his second wind.
But let me add this to that, that you bring up late in his career and the fact that he's, what, 30. Look at the miles that he got on his car, so to speak, mm-hmm. for the first 3 years. Not a whole lot. You know, this is a young 30-year-old.
Okay.
You know, he was a developmental player. You know, he didn't come into the league like Julius Peppers and play right away. The snap total wasn't very high in his first 3 years. So this is a guy that doesn't have a ton of miles. You know, so that's one thing to remember when you're talking about Aaron Campman.
355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us on the program. And we'll go to the phone lines here with Steve in Arlington. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hope everybody's well.
Great. Thanks.
Just wondering, what kind of information does Gene and the staff have available to them when they're going through this process with someone like Aaron Campman with an injury? Do they have the most up-to-date physical reports?
Yeah, when Campman,
take your answers off the air.
When Campman would come in for the when he came in for the visit, it's understood that he is going to any free agent is going to submit himself to physical examination. That means the trainer Mike Ryan is going to get involved, and it means the doctors are going to get involved, and it means they're going to do MRIs. They're going to get pictures. So you're not going to get $11 million without allowing the team to look under the hood.
Well, and not only are they going to talk to Aaron Campman, look at the pictures, and do their own examination, they're going to talk to the performing surgeon who did the surgery to begin mm-hmm. with. And probably most importantly, they're going to talk to his physical therapist or his rehabilitation specialist to find out where he's at. And that information would obviously go a long way towards determining that $11 million number.
Now I'll tell you somebody else I guarantee they talk to. I guarantee Gene Smith talked to his buddy, Kirk Ferentz, the head coach at Iowa, for whom Aaron Campman played. And I guarantee you, Kirk Ferentz gave Aaron Campman a glowing character recommendation.
You know,
work ethic.
I don't think that, you know, character has never been a question with Aaron Campman, because here you had a player who had a new defensive coordinator in Dom Capers. And I watched this all last year, because you got to remember, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. You got a guy like Dom Capers coming in, and he's basically miscast a guy like Aaron Campman, who's now out of position. They're asking him to do something totally different. But how did Aaron Campman handle that?
Grace.
With the utmost respect to Dom Capers and the Green Bay organization, here's a player that basically got completely turned inside out as far as the position they used to play.
And Greg Ellis made the switch in Dallas, and he was anything but graceful about
it. He didn't like it.
No, he complained all season long.
I think he let it be known that he wasn't happy, but he didn't give the media anything that they could print to confirm his unhappiness. They could sense it, mm-hmm. but they never got any meat.
I wouldn't be surprised if they talked to Dom Capers.
No, Dom's a straight-up guy.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, Gene got
here
to meet Dom Capers while he was here.
Sure.
All right, we're due for news here at the bottom of the hour when we return more conversation on Jaguars this week.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Here we go, second half hour, Jaguars This Week. Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman, Fortunato et al., and you can join us at 355-NFL-1. Let's go right to the phones. Trevor held through the news at the bottom of the hour up in Montreal. Good evening, Trev. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I was just wondering, with the addition of Osgood and now with Williamson back, with Williamson coming back from injury, like, what is the status lie with the receivers? Because I know last year going into the season it was like a weak point, but it seems like now it could almost be like a really strong part of the game.
It's a competition. I mean, you know what Mike Sims-Walker can do, and you know what Mike Thomas can do, and everybody else has got to fight for a job.
You know, and the other thing that does, you can be rest assured, regardless of contract, when you got a wide receiver who can play special teams, he's going to be active on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's going to do, I think, is going to allow some of these other younger players, a Jarrett Dillard, a Tyquan Underwood, mm-hmm. it's going to allow them time to develop. Because they had better be one of the top three wide receivers if they're going to be active on game day, because you can guarantee yourself that Osgood's going to be the fourth.
What do you suppose? You know, he 6'5", 220. Seems mm-hmm. like he runs pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Was he just the victim of being on a pretty talented roster?
Well, that's what he says. And, you know, I've talked to some people who say, no, he's a good player now. This is there are people in this building who believe that he can be the Jaguars' Z, number two receiver. Sims Walker, your X, and Osgood, your Z, and Thomas is a slot guy when Y, the tight end, isn't in the game.
And see, I don't believe that when you're talking the alphabets here, X, Z, and
well,
Y
one, two,
is tight
one,
end.
Two, one, okay.
two. X is typically a speed guy. And think of this in term, you know, for all the Jaguar fans.
Right.
Jimmy Smith.
A big speed
That's
guy, though. He's got to be able to get off the jam because he's on the line.
That's Jimmy Smith.
Right.
Well, didn't have clock speed, but he had game
but
speed.
But that's Mike Sims-Walker. He's a big guy.
He doesn't have that kind of speed.
So what you're saying is they don't have a
I'm
one.
I'm saying that Mike is a Z, is
okay.
a move guy, a Keenan McCardell type. There's not. I'm not saying that a Z is only a possession guy.
Therefore, they don't have an X.
I think that they need an X.
Right. I agree with that.
And can Kasim Osgood be an X? No.
But Mike Sims-Walker was the X last year.
They moved him around a little bit. But in a perfect world, you'd have a guy that can run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking run by people.
Sure.
Consistently to be the X.
Sure.
And then your Z is a guy that's going to catch a ton of balls.
Randy Moss is your X.
He's an X.
Keenan McCardell is a Z.
He's a Z all day long.
And the little guy, Wes Welker, is a classic
slot
receiver, and that's what Mike Thomas.
That's right.
Randall L., Mike Thomas, Wes Welker, slot receiver number three.
Now, Tyquan Underwood, when you look at his numbers, shout out,
X. Put on 10 pounds and he's an X.
You know, Mike Thomas's numbers would say possibly an X because he's got speed. He's 4'4". You know, can he play that role?
Can he get
a
off
bit?
The jam at that size?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out.
What is having another guy that can play at Montel Owens level do for your roster versatility?
Oh, man.
I mean, we're talking, this is the Pro Bowl guy the last 3 years in the AFC on special teams.
First of all, it changes. Typically, you have guys that are active, extra guys, active linebacker, maybe extra guy at tight end or fullback because you need them for teams. Now you got a wide receiver. When's the last wide receiver that played a significant role for the Jaguars in a special teams way?
Good question. I can tell you this. I've noticed.
You know who it was?
Who?
It was Jimmy Smith back in 95.
That's right. That's right. Now, he made the team on special teams.
Yeah,
in fact,
he blocked that one kick for a touchdown against the Broncos.
That's
and
right.
returned one.
The one thing I will add this before you go make your point. My experience is that great special teams players can be very good positional players. Never seen one that couldn't. So is this a guy that just got, you know, kind of shuffled to the back of the deck, you know, because they had talent at wide receiver in San Diego.
Vincent Jackson, Chris Chambers, Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
Guys that were on the field a lot.
I noticed
And Legadu Nani.
I noticed a trend this past weekend for the start of free agency. Teams are signing special teams guys left and right. There were probably more guys signed for their special teams acumen than guys signed because they're Julius Peppers. Or
because they got value because they're going to be active on game day.
There's an emphasis on special teams. I mean, look at the guys, Arnez Battle, Will Allen, Kasim Osgood. A ton of special teams only kind of guys were signed.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
What'd they pay Kasim Osgood?
What?
$2
million? A year?
Yeah, something. I think that's the average, something like that. It's a little more than Sean Considine money.
About $3 million guaranteed, just under that, right?
I don't know what the guarantee is. I think he averages out like two a year. He's Sean Considine with a little more.
A little more pep.
With a little more money, with a little extra.
But think about your core special teamers now. You got Considine, Montel Owens, Kasim Osgood.
Those two in particular.
Hey, those three guys right there now, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they can get down the field in a heartbeat. You don't forget Brian Iwu now, who was
a major player, fantastic special teams player, and then the safety.
Alexander?
No, not Alexander.
Anthony Smith, Considine.
Anthony Smith.
Mm-hmm. Quality special teams player, can be a guy that plays downs for you at safety spot if need be. Maybe was their second best safety at the end of last year.
Since you bring up safety, there are a number of mock drafts. Again, we're the middle now, getting towards the middle part of March, so there's plenty of time for things to change. But they've got the Jaguars looking at safety and not Eric Berry, because no one expects Eric Berry to be there at 10. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Taylor Mays is a guy whose name is popular, and then Earl Thomas from the University of Texas. Do you see those guys being worthy of the 10th overall pick?
Thomas is coming out as a sophomore. I have nothing against that, but I'd like a little more information if I'm going to pick a safety in the top 10. Safety in the top 10? Sorry, I guess I'm just setting my ways. But
there's nothing wrong with picking a safety in the top 10, but he'd better be good. He'd better be Ed Reed. He'd better be Troy Polamalu.
Right.
He'd better be Sean Taylor.
Troy Polamalu wasn't a top 10 pick.
He was 16.
Yeah, Polamalu wasn't a top 10 pick.
But if you redid that draft, he'd be in the top 10.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Is Eric Berry that good?
The guy who we haven't seen in a couple of years, Bob Sanders in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, look, you know, that position is used to be thought of for a long time as kind of being a throwaway spot, like guard.
But not in this NFL.
His team needs more help.
Not since this game has changed to be completely a passing league.
His team needs more help on the defensive line, and they need help at linebacker. They need help in their front seven. And I would hope that they would address that first.
The top linebacker on the board is what? Rolando McClain, most people thought.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that today he told the folks at the Alabama Pro Day that he has Crohn's disease?
That is a major setback for his draft stock.
It'll hurt him. You know the guy that I like?
Who?
And obviously this is not going to happen unless they trade down and accumulate picks. Stanford, the Fighting Cardinal. Is that what they are?
Toby Gerhart.
I love that guy. Talk about a compliment to Maurice Drew.
Ran well at the combine, by the way. Really surprised people. He ran.
How big is he?
I'm seeing shades.
235.
Vic, I'm seeing shades of John Riggins and Joe Washington together in the backfield here.
Make sure you don't see shades of Tommy Vardell.
I don't see that.
Okay.
Tommy wasn't
same size.
Hard. Yeah, but not. He didn't run like Toby did.
Seventh pick of the draft.
No, I know, but he was a fullback. He's a back.
He's good. He's very, very good.
Let's take a break. Come back with one more segment of Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
So you think defensive line is probably the most pressing? I mean, Campman aside, obviously he's not the solution because you don't know what he's going to bring you early on. But I think I read in Ask Vic today that you'd go anywhere on the defensive line.
I did a wish list column. You know, if I was the head coach and the GM asked me, well, give me your wish list. Well, here the first guy on my wish list would be a defensive lineman. What did we all say about the Jaguars when they came back from Cleveland and I was lying in a hospital bed? All right? They need more muscle.
Yes.
I mean, it was the one thing, if the Cleveland game, and especially the last four games of the year, if it taught us anything about this team, it taught us that they just don't have enough muscle up front, especially the Cleveland game, where the Browns literally said, we're not going to pass it, we're just going to run it down your throat. This is a great draft for defensive linemen. You know, I talked last week about Dan Williams, a defensive tackle from Tennessee, who had a great Senior Bowl. You know, they've got a chance to, I believe, pick a defensive lineman who will be absolutely at the top of their board when it's their turn to pick. And man, it's just there's just nothing beats whipping people up front. Nothing beats that.
Big guys. You don't stop in year one. Maybe you can only get one side of the big guys in year one, but year two you can go to the other side.
Well, you know, people are saying, well, people were asking me, what's the chance of them being able to move John Henderson? Well, you know, Henderson has value. If you really want to get picks, if you really want to get extra picks, here would be a chance to pick a young defensive tackle, a young John Henderson, to start over. You had Henderson and Stroud. How about another young guy in Terrence Knighton to go forward with, you know, your inside cornerstones and move John for picks?
Could work.
That's youth movement stuff.
Does he have enough value to get you two or another three?
I don't know, but I would think that based on what Stroud got them, which was three and five. Okay, he got you three. I would think that John Henderson could get you a three.
How far is the drop-off from McCoy and Sue? Clearly, you know, a notch above. Brian Price and Dan Williams, the next two guys. Price from UCLA and Williams from Tennessee.
Well, I'm seeing Price more towards the second half of this round.
I'm looking at Mel Kiper's board, and he has Price ahead of Williams.
The only reason Dan Williams isn't right up there with McCoy and Sue is because he's 6'3". He's a shorter guy. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. Warren Sapp was a tall guy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with forklifting guys.
6'2".
Well, yeah. And I'm looking here. McCoy is listed at 6'3.5", and Sue at 6'3 7/8", and okay. Williams is 6'2¼". So, okay, an inch shorter.
Well, and they're changing the defense a little bit. They're talking about changing the scheme and that the defensive line is going to penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a la Minnesota Vikings used to be, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Warren Sapp was there. So slightly shorter and smaller is okay in that.
Sure, quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other names, and again, just throwing them out here, Cam Thomas from North Carolina, Lamar Houston from Texas. Everyone thinks about Terrence Cody from Alabama. Do you know what about him yet? I mean, he
dropped 40 pounds, and he's still way, way overweight and out of shape. As far as what you're supposed to look like, he doesn't have a NFL type body. He's got major grill work that's got to be done,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
But I mean, he's cat quick, and he's
he could be the next Ted Washington then.
But he doesn't fit with these guys. He doesn't fit with Sue. He doesn't fit with McCoy or Dan Williams. He's just not in that athletic category.
And then just staying with the theme of, you know, obviously the top guys as the pass rushing ends right now are Pierre Paul and Derek Morgan. How far of a drop-off is there? I mean, what if both Morgan and Pierre Paul were gone? I mean, how deep can you go at defensive end in this draft, do you suppose?
Remember a name that was given to me at the Combine? Who gave it to me? The name is Austin Lane. He is from Murray State. The Jaguars now have a coach on their staff who coached him at Murray State.
Mark Griffin.
Who coached him?
I forget.
Matt Griffin is his name.
Okay.
That's the new offensive assistant.
Okay.
On Dirk Cutter's staff over there.
So you got guys like Austin Lane and Alex Carrington from Arkansas State. Carrington's a pass rush specialist, so to speak. He's a big guy.
6'5¼", 284 pounds.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big specialist now.
That's Arkansas State.
Check that again. Alex Carrington.
Alex Carrington, 6'5¼", 284 pounds, Arkansas State.
Okay, he weighs that much. I'm
and they've
I,
got
I,
him
I,
listed
I didn't know that.
As the
that's Julius Pepperson.
Yeah, that's
as the sixth best pass rushing.
Okay,
defensive
so what end. I'm trying to say is there's depth to this class. I thought Carrington was a lighter guy, but clearly he's not.
Who's the guy from Georgia Tech? What's his name?
Derek Morgan.
That's the guy that everybody's saying could be the first or second end.
He fits right about where the Jaguars are picking.
They've got him as
what's his size?
6'4", 268.
Okay.
He's Aaron Kampman's size.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's Jeff Lagerman's size.
A little shorter.
A few years in the career.
Well, I mean, you were a 260 guy, weren't you?
Yeah, I played, you know, 60, 65, mm-hmm. 68, 72, anywhere in there. Depends on the year.
Brandon Graham. Wow. Wow. I mean, you want a pass rusher, but he's Dwight Freeney size. Is he Dwight Freeney? Most people are saying Brandon Graham fits in a 3-4. He's Lamar Woodley, who is a fabulous pass rusher. But I don't know what the Jaguars' opinion of Brandon Graham is. Brandon Graham is a sensational, shortish defensive end slash linebacker. Most people consider him to be a 3-4 line rushbacker. But who knows? Maybe the Jaguars think he's the next Dwight Freeney. This class is loaded with linemen. It's loaded with pass rushers. It's loaded with run stuffers. If you can't draft the future of your defensive line in this year's draft,
you're missing it.
You got out of position somewhere.
You know the one thing that I'm glad, the one signing that nobody's talked about at all for the Jaguars? Jeremy Mincy.
Yeah, you've mentioned him.
He was the best defensive end in training camp, my opinion, last year, mm-hmm. that the Jaguars had. Couldn't believe they didn't re-sign him at some point last year. I know he was waived injured.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, man, the guy's got great work ethic.
And moves. I mean,
runs well, plays hard, give you everything he's got. Give me a bunch of those guys.
Just real quick, in terms of how the folks at ESPN and draft people see Brandon Graham, he's not listed with the ends. He's listed with the outside linebackers.
There's no question. He is going to be coveted by the 3-4 teams because he's classic Lamar Woodley, same school, same size, same motor. But he's Dwight Freeney size, and he has Dwight Freeney quickness. I don't know if you take a risk on a 6'1" defensive end when you're in the top 10. But Indianapolis did. I mean, Freeney was what, 13th?
No, he was the 10th pick.
Yeah.
Worked for them.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Vic? I mean, I've never seen a first step like Dwight Freeney. Never.
Get some tape on this guy. This guy's never. Really good. Really good.
Okay. But, I mean, to say he's Dwight Freeney-type quickness, I mean, that's something the league has never seen.
Get some tape and tell me what you think.
All right, I'll walk across hall.
Yeah.
Well, at number 10, it's clear the Jaguars are going to have plenty of options.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about it being the 10th
hopefully it won't be number
10 player draft.
They're going to be looking, they're going to be staring at a bevy of offensive tackles, defensive tackles, and defensive
ends. Yeah, but you want it to be quarterbacks.
No, that ain't there. No, that's not going to happen.
I'm just saying that you want him there.
For somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might like Clausen.
That's your dance partner. Yeah. I mean, when you got a quarterback, boy, the dance partners line up.
There's two. There's Bradford and there's Clausen. Bradford will be gone. And you would hope that Clausen would attract somebody to come up.
All right. That'll do it for the show. Have a great night.
The Jaguars will be ruined in the front office if they draft Clausen, though. I mean, Tim Walsh wouldn't know. He'd throw more money.
Yeah, they passed on the last Notre Dame quarterback. That turned out to be
the highest paid player in the draft.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.